Good morning. We'll be beginning Maseches Ketubos this morning. Just thinking about how to introduce the Masechta. Ketubos is known as Shas Katan because of the fact that it covers such a wide variety of subject matter. Additionally, it's also known as a Masechta that deals with very involved and detailed, very sensitive subject matter. With that in mind, the Masechta begins discussing when it is that a woman gets married, what day of the week, based on the Chacham of Chazal. So let's begin. Besula Nisesh Liyom Harvi. A Besula, a virgin, gets married on Wednesday. V'almana, and a woman who's a widow, Liyom HaChamishi, on Thursday. The Mishnah explains the reason. Shabbat and Shabbat, but they didn't Yoshvin be Yaros. That twice a week, the Bez Din sits in the cities. Liyom HaSheni, Liyom HaChamishi, Mondays and Thursdays. Those were the days that were typically court days. She'im Hayalo Tayas Besulim, that if he would have a claim against her virginity, Hayamashlim Bezdin, he would get up early and go to Bezdin the very next morning. In other words, the Mishnah is explaining the reason for why a Besula, a virgin, gets married on Wednesday, because since Bezdin sits and holds court on Thursday morning, if the wedding is Wednesday evening, then the next morning, Thursday morning, the chosan, if he has some issue, some claim to make, he can immediately get up and go to Beis Din. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Dibra Maschal Besula Nisus Liyom Harvi. Takanas Chachamim Hi. This is a takana of the Chachamim. Shetinase Berevi. She should get married on Wednesday during the week, and in the first time, like the reason will be explained, and that is in fact the reason the Mishnah gives. In fact, Rashi says in the next Rashi, Shatam in Bashabbos, that twice a week on Shabbos the Mishnah had said that Bez Din sits. Rashi explains, Abatulakai, this is going on the case of a virgin. Because the truth is, the Mishnah really doesn't give a reason why it is that an almana, a widow, gets married on Thursday. It only gives a reason that explains why the Besula should have to get married on Wednesday, because it's Thursday morning, Bez Din sits, etc. But there's no explanation given so far why an almana gets married on Thursday, and since the explanation the Mishnah gives wouldn't satisfy that question of why an almana gets married on Thursday, Rashi tells us that really the reason the Mishnah is giving is only going on the Besula. And as for almana, we're sort of left in the dark for the time being. Rashi goes on to say, B'sheni v'chamishi, Mondays and Thursdays. So where did this come from, the idea that Bez Din sits and holds court twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays? Achas me'esu takanos shetiken Ezra. This is one of the 10 takanos enactments that Ezra enacted. The Bava Kama v'perek merubim v'fayesh v'kuhu. And in Bava Kama, in the 7th parak, perek merubim, it explains all of them. U'v'kach tekne shetinati v'rvi. And for this reason, it was explained that she should get married on Wednesday. She inhale a tainus besulim, that if he has a tain against the virginity, yashkim bezin ba'ud kaiso olav. Rashi fills in the point that he should get up early and go to bezin while he's still angry. The imyesh shahos same time, and if there would be some time in between the wedding and the day that bezin holds court, let's say for example, if the wedding was on a Monday or Tuesday evening, and the court was not going to be in session until the following Thursday morning, a span of about 1 or 2 days. Shema yisfayes v'tiskaradayto. There is to be concerned that perhaps he will become appeased and he'll calm down. V'yikaymenen, he will keep her as his wife. And then Rashi will explain, so what's wrong with that? So let's say he chooses to keep her as his wife after finding out that she was not in fact a virgin. That's his choice, isn't it? Rashi explains, Shema he's into tasso. Perhaps she was Mizana, perhaps she committed some kind of adultery, Tassav, while married to him, meaning not obviously, if the wedding was Wednesday night, they were not fully married yet. They had not yet done the nisuin. However, the first component of marriage, erusin, had already been done. And therefore, she is usher to any other man from that point on. And if she had been with any other man from that point on, she would then subsequently be usher to her own husband. And so we're concerned that if that is in fact what happened, we want to make sure that the husband and the wife no longer are together, because that's an issur. V'nasra Allah, Rashi just went on to explain that, that perhaps she was not under him and then she became usher to him. Kedi alfinan me v'nisra v'hin itma. As the Gemara in Sota tells us from the pasuk of, quote, v'nisra v'hin itma, umitok sheyavu lebezdin, Rashi began to say, because he comes to Bezdin, so what's that going to help? So he'll come to Bezdin and he'll say, I have a taina that it seemed to me that she was not a virgin. Okay, and now what should we do? How does that help us at all? Rashi answers and says, because of his coming to Bezdin, he is bar ha'davar. The matter will become clarified. Ukshiyata ha'kol, when the sort of the news spreads that he's coming to court with a claim against her, shema yavo eidim, perhaps eidim will come. And if eidim come, eidim witnesses who know more in depth, more in detail about what has occurred, they may have knowledge about what this woman has been doing, then we'll be able to clarify. Based on what we just said, Rashi says, going back to the previous idea that since Bezdin sits and holds court on Mondays and Thursdays, so why did the Mishnah limit the day that a Besula could get married to Wednesday? Why not Sunday? Then she could get married Sunday evening, and he could go into court Monday morning were it necessary. So the Gemara is going to ask that question and address that point. There are a number of Tosafim on the Mishnah. However, as seems to be typical, the Tosafim that are at the beginning of the Masechta are often very technical, discuss various details of the wording of the Mishnah, and therefore, for the purposes of this year, I'd prefer to hold off on those for now. There's a Tosafim that is actually in the Mishnah. It's not one of the first three. It's the fourth Tosafim on the page. And this one is somewhat less technical. Tosfos says, "Dibu hamasko she'in hayalo tainos v'chulei." Tosfos is going on that reason that the Mishnah gave, why it is that he did the wedding have to be on Wednesday, because this way, if he has some kind of a claim, he can come on Thursday morning. Says Tosfos, "V'im tomar." Tosfos asks the question, "Hatenach eishes kohen opchus amidas shalosh." It makes sense that which an Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, or a girl who is engaged at less than the age of less than three, the Laka Elachad Sveka, where there's only one doubt, Kedamin B'Gemara, that doesn't understand. So a little word of background here, because those few, first few lines of Tosafot seem to be complete Chinese. If you're not familiar with the Gemara and Daf Tet in Ksuvos. The Gemara and Daf Tet in Ksuvos is a somewhat fundamental Gemara to the entire Masechta. It discusses various scenarios in which a person might come into Bezdin and have a claim against his wife's virginity, what those claims might be, and in what instances he is believed. And the Gemara says that, I'll just read it to you inside, the Gemara and Daf Tet. Amar Aleph, it starts at the very bottom of Chesam and Beis, the last three words. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Ha'omer Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, one who says, I found a, quote, Pesach Pesuach, meaning an open door. In other words, that when he was with his wife, he could tell that she had already been with somebody else before that. Ne'eman Lo'osu Allah, he is believed to answer her on himself, meaning to make her prohibited to him. The Gemara then goes on to analyze in what scenario that occurs. The Gemara doesn't understand initially why a person should ever be believed to create such an issur, such a prohibition against himself, based on his statement of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, since in any scenario where that would occur, there would be what we call a tzeik tzeika, in English, a doubt of a doubt, essentially what it means is that since we have two different doubts, and sort of it comes out that 75% of the time there shouldn't be an issur, there should not be a prohibition, therefore we shouldn't really believe him, we should allow him to remain with his wife, based on the idea that he's really most likely usur. This is a rule that we find in halacha often. When there's a sveika, and the two sveikas combined to sort of lead us in the direction of heter, so we don't usur, we don't prohibit things, rather we permit. In this instance, what is the sveika? So Tosfos is here on that page, is really referencing those two cases over there that the Gemara says, the two sveikas. The sveikas are as follows. He comes into Bezdin, and he says that my wife was with someone before. We have the following question. Was his wife with someone before after the betrothal, the erison, or before? If it was before, even though he may be correct and it may be absolutely true that she's not a virgin, it doesn't change her status of heter to him. And therefore, there's no reason why he can't still live with his wife. So, okay, that's one suffix. So if it was in fact a 50-50 suffix, a suffix where we are equally unsure of one as much as the other, then we would say, then in fact, let's have the husband and wife separate, we're unsure. We would say suffix of choma. However, there's another suffix. That suffix is whether or not she was raped. It's possible that the reason that she was, you know, with someone before was not of her own volition, but rather because a man forced her. That too is a case where she would not be ushered to her husband. So now we have two scenarios where it's possible that even though she was with a man before, she would still be mutter to her husband. Thus, the sveika works as follows. We don't know whether or not it was tachtav under him while after the erison had been done, or ena tachtav before the erison had been done. And then we say, so even if it's true that it was tachtav, that it was after the erison, maybe it was a rape, maybe it was an onus. We don't know if it was onus or lachtav. In other words, of the four possible cases that we could have here, we could have tachtav, onus, and tachtav, lachtav. Right, a rape that happened after the erison, and her being together with a man of her own volition that happened after the erison, and then we could also have ena tachtav onus, ena tachtav lachtav, a rape that occurred before the erison, or her being with a man of her own volition before the erison. So of those four scenarios, only one of those four is actually going to lead to an issur. That is tachtav, if it was actually after the erison, and ratzon. If you're missing either of those factors, it automatically is mutter. So the Gemara on Daf Tet challenges the statement that a person is believed to make his wife usher to him when he comes in and says, I found a pesach patuach, an open door, because it doesn't matter. Even if you're right, and even if that's true, 3/4 of the time, maybe not in terms of percentages, but in terms of likelihood, we say that you would anyways be mutter to your wife would anyways be mutter to you. So you should not be believed in terms of making her usher to you. The Gemara answers those two cases. The Gemara says, we need that halacha that a person is believed, you're absolutely right. And a chanami. It's absolutely true that a person is not believed to usher if it's a scenario where it's a safe seika. That halacha is true. However, there are cases that we need to teach the halacha for, which are not a sveika. And those two scenarios are as follows. One is the case of Eishes Kohen, where the chasen involved is a kohen, and therefore it doesn't matter if it was onus or ratzon. Even if it was onus, even if it was a rape, in the case of a kohen, the Torah created a certain extra level of kedusha that a kohen requires, and therefore, even if it was done, if it was via rape, the fact that she's not a virgin and it happened after the erison creates an issur, and therefore we're left with only one suffix. The only thing that really matters is whether or not it was tachtav after the erison or ena tachtav before the erison, and therefore that one single suffix allows us to say so he's believed to answer based on a suffix l'chumra, and therefore he's answer. The other case that's involved, which is a little bit of a funny case, the Gemara Daf Tav says, is if a girl was, the erusin was done between the man and the girl when the girl was under the age of 3. And the Gemara tells us that under the age of 3, Rashi actually spells this point out on Daf Tav, that under the age of 3, the Basulim, the hymen, would return. And therefore, even if she had been with a man before the age of 3, there would be no way to detect that she had been with anybody before. The Basulim would actually have returned and would be there again. The Gemara compares it to poking a finger in an eye where tears come out, but then subsequently there are more tears to be had. Therefore, since the girl would have been with somebody before the erusin, it wouldn't have created a loss of Basulim. She would still be a virgin. The only scenario in which the husband could claim that she's no longer a virgin is if she'd been with somebody after the erusin. In which case, the only suffix that's left to us, we know that it was Tasav, we know that it happened after the erusin. The only suffix that's left to us is whether it's Onus or Rustam, excuse me. Whether it's a rape or whether it was volitionally. Therefore, that single suffix also allows us to say suffix is Bechunah. Now, one point that has to be spelled out regarding that case, which makes the case even stranger than it perhaps already is the fact that a katana, a girl who's less than 12, even if she's over 3, even if someone seduces her, that's still considered a rape in her case. You consider that like a rape because she's so young, she's unable to resist, he's telling her what to do, therefore, that's considered a rape as well. Therefore, every case of a girl under between ages of 3 and 12, where she was with a man, is really considered a rape, which should further permit her to her husband. So therefore, Rashi has to spell out that the cases where she got erusin was done before the age of 3. However, nisuin, the final step of marriage, was not done until after she had already turned 12. So there was a chance, after she turned 12, for her to be with a man of her own volition, and therefore we have a suffix whether or not it was Ones or Ratzon. We're not sure, and therefore if it was Ones, it would be Mudr. But if it was Ratzon, during that period after she was 12, and she did it willingly, that in fact would make her Usher to her husband. So it's a single suffix. So Tosfos wants to know as follows. Back to Gemara Daf, after that little sidebar, Tosfos wants to know on Daf Beis, it makes sense that we should want him to come in on Thursday morning and therefore have them get married Wednesday night. For those two cases that we just quoted from Daf Tes, of Eishes Kohen and Eishes Yisrael, Chutzmi Bas Gimel, where she was, the erusin was done at the age of less than 3, because there it's a single suffix. And therefore, if he comes in and tells us, I have some kind of a claim against her virginity, and we only have his word for it, so then we would in fact say, so therefore, she's up there. It's a single suffix, Sabi Yochoma. So that Tosus spells this out. Didn't tell him, Tosus asks, let's just read that part again. Those two cases from Daf Tes, there's only one suffix, Kidami and the Gemara, like we say in the Gemara, and Tosus is now referencing that Gemara and Daf Tes. Avol b'shar nashim, but with other women, a deika seika, that there is a double doubt of seika, like we spelled out, either onus or ratzon tasav ein tasav. Amayti nasa liyom dalad. So now, why did the Mishnah create a halacha where she has to get married on Wednesday? It's not necessary. If he comes in on Thursday morning, any of the majority of cases that are out there where there's going to be a seika, and he says, let's say the case is outside of Surah Masati, or he actually has the cloth where that's supposed to sort of catch the blood from that first dia, and he comes in and says there was no blood, so he's high enough done him. In either case, we say, that's wonderful, you're right. We believe you that that's what happened, that in fact she may have been with a man before you. It doesn't change the fact
that she's still mother to you. So what's the rush? Why are we rushing him in here? So Tosfos doesn't understand the point of the halacha of the Mishnah. And Tosfos answers something which is really, in fact, a little bit far-fetched, a little bit dochek. The Omer Rabbi Natan gives an answer, the low plug Rabbanon betakanta, the Rabbanon didn't want to create any kind of separation, any kind of differentiation within their takana. Umishum Eshes Kohen, including the Gimel, and because of those cases, where there's a single suffix, and therefore, if he comes in and says something, we're going to say that she's usher to him, Tiknu B'chol HaNashim, they therefore made an enactment of takana by all women, she's not to the Yom Da'al, they should get married on Wednesday. So Tos was an actual little plug, and he says, therefore, that's why she gets married on Wednesday, despite the fact that it's sick, and really the need for getting married on Wednesday is only true by cases of Eishes Kohen, of Chukmi Das Gimel, and therefore when he comes in, she'll be usher to him. But really, for most cases, it's not necessary. Okay, now so far, we haven't seen explicitly that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing, though in fact they are. But Tosfos is going to spell it out for us, which is in fact very kind of him. So let's take a look at where Tosfos spells this out. He says, "Uva Kunshas Teresh," and in Rashi, Kunshas is Tosfos' way of explaining Rashi. It explains to Mitzvah Chachid Baradavar. That because of this, the matter will become clarified. Because of his coming into Bezdin, it will become clear. And Edom will come, witnesses will come, that she was Mizana Baratzon. So Edom will come and clarify the matter. Now, it's not clear how Tosfos is different from Rashi. Rashi also said that she should come in, that he should come in, excuse me, the morning after if he has some kind of claim, Edom will come. Tosfos didn't mention anything about Edom. It seems to be that Tosfos is understanding the point of the Mishnah Sakana, that he should come in the next morning and therefore he has to get married the night before Bezdin sits, as being in order that he should come in and by his statement alone will consider her offer to him. Rashi doesn't seem to be understanding the Mishnah Sakana that way. Rashi seems to be understanding that the reason for the Sakana is that he should come in and based on his saying it, people will hear and witnesses will come and clarify the matter whether or not she was with any other man, and what the scenario was it Tafta, was it in Tafta, was it Onus, was it Ratzon, and therefore we'll know with certainty whether or not she is usher to him. And Rashi seems to almost be granting that his statement of his claim, let's say the Pesach Pesach Matzavti, for example, will not really hold any water in court. It'll be meaningless, other than to create some kind of a cult. Thus we have a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos as to how to understand this second of the Mishnah. However, Tosfos has some problems with Rashi. He has to go on to explain them. I don't really want to delve into that right now because it gets very involved with the Gemara and Daf Tes. And Tosfos pretty much feels that Rashi's shot doesn't really fit with the Gemara and Daf Tes because of one of the steps there. I don't believe it's worth going into right now. It will be beyond the scope of this. As is Hashem, when we get to Daf Tes, we can clarify it and understand where exactly Machlokas Rashi Tosfos makes a difference. But for now, suffice it to say that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing what exactly is the point of the Takana. Rashi seems to hold that it's in order for the guy to come in and then create a kol, create some kind of a noise, and so to speak, that the news should spread and people should hear. And Tosfos seems to feel that it's on his word alone that we're going to create an issur, and therefore it's only relevant in those two cases that we quoted from Daf Tes, Eishes Kohen or Pekus Mivas Gimel. And that's why the only reason that anybody other than that would have to get married on Wednesday is based on a low cloak. Sort of an advantage of Rashi's shot is that like, Rashi doesn't have to rely on a low cloak. Rather, he's able to get away, so to speak, with saying that it's really for every case. However, it's for every case to create a call that Aiden should come, and witnesses should come and clarify the matter, so that in itself could be viewed as a slight dochek, a slight disadvantage to Rashi's shot. Okay, let's move on to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to want to understand some of the basis for the takana that we're discussing, and additionally some other halachos which sort of surround it, which are relevant to certain cases, depending on whether or not she's not able to get married on Wednesday. Let's see what the Gemara has to say. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yosef said, in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel.
Why
does the Besula get married on Wednesday? And the Gemara then gives what seems to be an answer. The Fisha Shaninu, because we learned, and this is a quote from, I believe, a Peter of Brisa or Tosefta,
he gives man Velonis, it was the time came, the appointed time, which Rashi is going to tell us is a year after the Eretzin was done. That's the designated time for Nisuan to occur.
Velonis, they did not do Nisuan. For whatever reason, it didn't happen.
Ochlos Mishalo. In such a case, the wife eats from the husband, meaning the husband is required to pay money to make sure that she is fed, that she is supported.
The Ochlos the Truma, and she's able to eat Truma in the case where he's a Kohen,
even though the Nisun is not actually done, and ordinarily we would say she's not yet his wife and she can't eat Truma. In this case, because the point in time for Nisun has occurred, the fact that she has not yet actually gotten married does not stop her from eating Truma, she's able to.
The problem here is that the Gemara said, why does the Nisun get married on Wednesday? And we answered with a case where if the time came, she'd be able to get supported by her husband.
The two things don't seem to speak to each other. When you have a question of why does it happen, so you give an answer. And what's more, the Mishnah told us the reason why she gets married on Wednesday, in order that he should come in on Thursday morning.
The Gemara seems somewhat cryptic. Rashi gives us a little bit of a help.
Lefisha Shaninu, Rashi says, Dibra Hamasku Lefisha Shaninu, Lekamon Makshi Allah.
Later on, they're going to ask on this.
So Rashi's help is to tell us that the Gemara is going to hopefully clarify exactly what the back and forth is here.
Rashi says, He is on Zlonisu, Lekamon Beperek Apalpi.
Let's just read this Rashi real quick.
Later on in Perek Apalpi, this is actually a submission, it turns out, to Nam, Nosan the Besula Shneimah Kachodesh.
We give the Besula, a virgin who is about to get married after she has erased in 12 months, Misha Tava HaBaal, from the time that the Baal has become betrothed to her, the Hizir Al Anasuin, and the Baal is warned, the husband is warned about Anasuin that he has to do it, the Farnes Atma, and at that point he's going to have to support her with Tachshitin, with various accoutrements. Rashi explains the word the Farnes, and he gives an old French word for it, Tandir Balaz, Ulamana Shloshimyon, and then Rashi tells us just as a sidebar for a widow, if a woman had been married before, then it would only be 30 days from the time of Erishin to the time of Nisuan.
Well, we'll see sort of a running theme that an Almana seems to, things are a little shortened in her case.
Higi is man, Rashi says, Zeh, this time came. They did not yet get married. Come on, before she came about. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that the Baal is false, which kind of makes sense, just in terms of in the vacuum of that particular verse that we quoted. If the time came and they didn't get married, the husband's obligated to support her. But whose fault was it? What if it was her fault that they didn't get married? Why is the husband being held responsible for that?
Therefore, Rashi is telling us that the Gemara is going to explain later, it's really a case where the husband is the one who held up the proceedings for whatever reason. We're going to see maybe it was a case where he got sick, or something of that nature, or whether it's his fault or not, the point is that it's sort of him who's holding things up, so then he's responsible for his wife.
The second thing is funny, the Gemara is discussing a case where the husband has to support his wife, and there's a whole discussion about, is it his money, is it her money, where does the money come from, whose fault is it? It sort of struck me as strange, I guess, just culturally to us, it doesn't usually work that way. There's not usually, if people are getting married to each other, there's not a whole debate about who's paying for what. Or perhaps there is, but it wouldn't have seemed that there should be such a debate. Perhaps we're seeing from the Gemara that in fact such a thing is really more common than would seem true. You'd think two people are entering into a marriage together, there wouldn't be a whole lot of discussion and debate.
We're in it together, your money, my money, it's going to be our money in a few days anyway, what's the difference?
But that doesn't necessarily matter. What's more is that the Gemara halacha is very detailed and specific. And in fact, by spelling these things out, it sort of
saves a lot of debate. So, okay, so Gemara does spell that halacha out. However, we don't really understand exactly how it is. Did the Gemara ask the question, give an answer, what exactly happened? The Gemara wants to clarify. Yachol, I would think, the Gemara says, he is on the Echad B'Shabbos, that if this man came on a Sunday, right, the Mishnah didn't clarify which day of the week it was, but if it happened on a Sunday, he would then have to support her and give her food and make sure that she's taken care of. In other words, if I just had this baiza, I would think, and the Gemara is kind of clarifying what it was they were bringing this baiza for in the first place, how they answered the question, because I would think that if the time came on Sunday, he should give him his honor. Therefore, we learned in our Mishnah that if Basula gets married on Wednesday, to teach you that despite the fact that halacha is true, that he has to support her from the time his man comes, a year from the Eretzin, if that happened on a Sunday, or Sunday which is not Wednesday, he is not obligated to pay for her mezuzah and to take care of her and feed her, until the Wednesday following. So, the Gemara still is not fully at ease with exactly how we asked the question, we gave an answer, what exactly happened, we asked why does it happen, we didn't really give an answer for why it happened, so we already know from our Mishnah why it is that it happened. So what exactly is the back and forth here? So this is actually a wonderful instance where the Gemara clarifies what exactly the back and forth was for us. And it does so with a series of cryptic lines which are not so easy to read. Let's see if we can figure out how to read that back and forth. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Mori Davon, Master of Avram, sort of a Russian of exclamation, right? He's so surprised. Tori Tanya, Bidlo Tanya. You are making what is written in a Tanaic source dependent on something which was not written, right? In other words, Rashi is going to explain. Okay, let's take a look at that Rashi right now. Tori Tanya, Bidlo Tanya. Tola Ka Mishnah Shneid, Mishnah Sheena Shneid. You are making dependent the reading of the Mishnah which is taught on the Mishnah which is not taught. So, still a little cryptic. I mean, which Mishnah is dependent on which other Mishnah? It sounds like the reason for the Mishnah that we quoted of the Yiyaz Man, in the one that we quoted in the Gemara, the reason for that one is really dependent on the Sula Mishnah Yom Havi, but it doesn't really say it in that Mishnah, so therefore, why is it that you're making one mission dependent on another? But the Gemara doesn't seem fully satisfied with this explanation of what the difference of the back and forth was. The Gemara says, Hi Tanya, by Hello Tanya. Was this one taught, this one not taught? No, Tanya, no, Tanya, they're both taught. Right? So the tremendous amount of time that says the word Tanya in this two or three lines is what part of what makes it so confusing. But if you read it slowly, you see it's really not such a crazy and complicated breakup. The Gemara just doesn't understand. They're both written explicitly. So if they're both written explicitly, so what's the problem? If one Mishnah is dependent on another Mishnah, they're both taught. So what are you telling me? One's taught and one's not taught. They're both taught. Excuse me. So the Gemara goes on to explain and answer. Ella, rather, Tali Tanya, the Mefarish Tanya, you made a Mishnah which explains its reason, dependent, but the Tanya, the Lo Mefarish Tanya, on a Mishnah which did not explain its reason. So therefore, now we've sort of clarified what Rav Yosef's question was on this Gemara, which we didn't even understand to begin with, and we had a question on it. The question itself didn't really make any sense, now we had to clarify that question. And the clarification of that question is as follows. If you look at Rashi, Ella, Tali, Tanya, the Mefarish Taima, the Tanya, the Lower Mefarish Taima, Rashi says, Mishnah Sena Taima Mefarish Tzocha, our Mishnah of the Tzumah Nitzes, the reason it's explained inside is Kadeshi Ashman Lebezin, the well, in order that you get up and go to Bezdin. The Higiyaz Man, in that Baisa that we quoted of Higiyaz Man, Ein Shem Tam Mefurishba. There's no reason given in it. Lomar Mitzne Ma, in Higiyaz Man, Be'echad B'Shabbat, in Omar L'Mizonos. To explain why it would be that if this man did not come on Wednesday, rather came on Sunday, he would not have to give him Mizonos. In other words, the Mishnah Gizma doesn't really say anything about Wednesdays or Sundays. All it does is say that if the time came of a year past Erisin, then that's when he has to see her. It doesn't say anything about whether the time comes on Sundays, the time comes on Wednesdays. Our Mishnah is the one that does all any mentioning of days of the week. So it doesn't seem to make any sense how you're sort of taking our Mishnah, which says the Sula Nisus is on a Wednesday, and gives a reason for that, and then tell us that their Mishnah is really the reason for another Mishnah which seems to be completely unrelated. So the Gemara is still a little bit unclear on exactly what the back and forth was at the beginning of our Gemara, at the very beginning. So the Gemara is going to clarify. Ella, I idmar, hachi idmar. Rather, if it was stated like this. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Mitzneima, Omer Betzula, Nisus Liyom HaRavi. What reason does it say that Betzula gets married on Wednesday? Shema Yelotan, Betzula, HaYimashkum, Lebezin. That, in fact, like the mission, like the reason of our Mishnah says, that if he'd have time to Betzula, he would get up and go to Bezin. Then the follow-up question is, good, but the Zikimah to the Echad B'Shabbos. In other words, the statement that we quoted at the very beginning of our Gemara of Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, which Rav Yosef really was the one who was quoting to us, said, the only way that that statement really makes any sense is to say that he initially said, what's the reason to Sulgis Man in Wednesday? And he answered the reason for my mission, and really should get up and go to Bethlehem. And then, if you want to know the answer to the question, which Rashi himself cited for us earlier, doesn't she get married? Shouldn't she get married on Sunday? That should be just as fine because of it, then he can go to Beis Din on Monday morning. The Gemara explains because then if he would wanted to get up and have a time, he would be able to get up and go to Beis Din. The Gemara quotes something which we haven't seen yet. Shaktu Chachamim al Takanas Nes Yisrael. The Chachamim sort of had pity. They were concerned and. That the Knesset Yisrael should have everything done properly. Shehei Torah Besuda Shel Shoyanim, that there should be effort put into the preparation of the wedding meal for 3 days. In other words, the Chachamim were concerned that the bride should be able to have a nice wedding. Echad B'Shabbos on Sunday, V'Sheni B'Shabbos, V'Shlishi B'Shabbos, and Monday and Tuesday. U'Revi Yikotz, and then on Wednesday, that's when the wedding happens, and that's when he marries her. And now the Gemara makes the final connection between our Mishnah and the Baisha that we quoted of Yigiyah's mom. The Aksha of Sheshaninu Shaftu, and now that we learned that this Takana of Shaftu is the reason that he can't get married on Sunday and the other has to wait until Wednesday. Osa Sheshaninu Yigiyah's mom, now which we learned, Yigiyah's mom, as the time comes, whenever it is, he has to then support her. That halacha that he has to support her if the time of the year from Erisin finishes and concludes and he's not ready to get married, then he has to support her. He gives on the Echad B'Shabbos, now that we know that this halacha is true, that there's this reason of Shaktu, which is like this totally out of the blue reason which we had never heard of before, which is explaining why she doesn't get married on Sunday. Now that reason is true, therefore, if he gives not the Echad B'Shabbos, the Gemara says, the time came on Sunday, and he told Sheini Yachul Lichnos, because of the fact that he's not able to marry her yet, because he knows the Chachamim made a Takana. He's not allowed to violate the Chachamim's Takana. Einu Ma'alu L'Mizonos. Then if that happens, he does not provide her with food, he doesn't have to feed her. And so the Gemara is now content with the understanding of the development of our original statement of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel. Rav Yosef said it in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel. But one thing we didn't clarify, or sort of still leaves things a little bit unclear, is how exactly you read that Mitzne Ma line. What exactly does that mean? When we read it at the very beginning, we didn't understand. It says Mitzne Ma Amru Besula Nisais. What do you mean, why is the school getting married on Wednesday? The Mishnah gives a very good reason, so he should get up and go to court Thursday morning if he has some kind of a claim. And in the Gemara now, we still don't really understand exactly what was going on. How did the Gemara solve that problem? So, it's worth taking a look at two Tosafot.
both of which are headed Mipnei Ma, and each one will sort of clarify what exactly the Gemara was understanding as the question of Mipnei Ma at the two different stages of the Gemara. Tosafot initially says Mipnei Ma, the first Dibur Maskil Mipnei Ma, Mipnei Ma Amar B'Shul Nisus Diyam Haravi L'Hishu Sheninu V'Chulei. So what was the Gemara asking? The Gemara doesn't seem to be asking what's the reason. We know what the reason is, but ordinarily that's what the word Mipnei Ma means. So Tosafot explains, even though it's ordinarily not the meaning of Mipnei Ma, here, in Shol Hatam, Lama Nisus Beravi, they're asking the reason why did she get married on Wednesday. Didn't care, because if that was so, then the Gemara wouldn't have answered anything. Right? On top of the fact that we ourselves know that the reason is clear in the Mishnah. So therefore, Tosafos concludes it can't be that the Gemara be asking what is normally the explanation of a question that begins with Mipnei Ma, what's the reason for? Rather, the Gemara be asking a different reason. We're going to explain. The Gemara be asking a different question. Ela Haki Perusha. Mipnei Ma Amru Ku. Why do they say it? Kolomar, as if to say, the Gemara is asking, might not come in as she takes the Shemitah's Bervi. What halachic ramification is there? What difference does it make that she gets married on Wednesday? In other words, granted, it's there to fulfill the dakana, but the question is, does it have any purpose? Does it have any more global halachic ramifications than the dakana itself? Purpose is still a little unclear, because why should the Gemara be bothered with such a question? Don't we know? Don't we know that the Mishnah is telling us that Tarkana was there in order that if he has a taina, he should get up early and go to bed the next morning? First, finish reading tells us and see if it becomes more clear. Umishani, the Gemara answers, Nafkamina le'inyan mizonos u'truma. There's a Nafkamina regarding mizonos u'truma, like the one that we quoted, that if the time comes, then he would have to support her, but not if it comes on a Sunday. So then what was the Gemara's big problem? If that was the way the Gemara's question was meant to be understood, so the Gemara's back and forth was wonderful. So what was Rav Yosef, they had this whole exclamation of Mari Davam, what was his big issue? So Rav Yosef comes to Amma, and Rav Yosef was in wonderment, Mari Davam. The Hanafkusa in the first of the Hedja. A Nafkusa, a Nafkamina, was explained very clearly in our Mishnah. Shemahil Ganat Tzulim, that if there is a claim of the Tzulim, Vuhum Aniach Nafkusa Zu. And he, meaning Rav Yosef is now referring to who he quoted of Yehuda Mashmuel, put aside that Nafkamina, which is clearly explained in our Mishnah, but those are based on Nafkusa Achrina. And grab that to another Nafkamina, which is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Why do that? So really, Rav Yosef was asking the question that we just mentioned. How is it that the Gemara could have a question, Mipnei Ma, what's the Nafkamina? Even now the Tosafos sort of brought it out of the typical meaning of Mipnei Ma and gave it a new meaning of what's the Nafkamina. Still, we know what the Nafkamina is. The Mishnah spelled out very clearly. And that, in fact, is Rav Yosef's question. Of course, this could potentially bring to mind the question of what exactly the Gemara is Havamina to say this Mipnei Ma. And I think in this case, the question doesn't have so much bearing because Rav Yosef quoted a statement of his Rebbe, or somebody who he heard in the name of a great Amora. And the statement was sort of a question of Mipnei Ma, which sort of was a rhetorical question which led to an answer. Tosafos had to clarify what the rhetorical question was setting up for, but it really was a rhetorical question. And it was a statement which there's no Havamina, because Rav Yosef had heard it, he quoted it over verbatim, and then he just completely didn't understand it. So there sort of is no Havamina in this case, because the Gemara's final answer to explain what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel was saying, when they said Mipnei Ma, and they gave an answer that, of course, the reason is because of getting up on Wednesday, but my question is, why not Sunday? And then they have to answer Shaktu, and then they say, once it's Shaktu, if it's his fault, then in fact he does have to provide a mizonos on Sunday. or not Sunday, but on Wednesday when he has to push off the wedding. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's statement really is wonderful. So there's no Havamina Kasha, because they really knew what they meant all along. Rav Yosef didn't understand it. He had a very good reason for not understanding it based on his perception of what they said. And the perception of what they said was totally logical. Because now, according to what the Gemara is throwing in, we kind of have to take what they said and give the expanded version, which, you know, the contracted version, who's missing so many lines and so many holes in it,
that it really made no sense. And the Gemara was giving this whole new, almost out of left field shot about what they were saying, although it has no holes in it. It's almost like a, you know, like we said, out of left field. So although the Gemara has a good answer, it's clearly understandable why Rabbi Yosef did not have that answer available to him initially when he asked the question. And just one last thing, I want to close this before we end. Tosfos then says Mitznei Ma Amru, right? Because when the Gemara says Mitznei Ma the second time, when they're giving the clarified version of what it is that Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Mitznei Ma Amru, Tosfos says B'nei Chusa Gar Sinan Lo. We are goresis. We have it written as a nichusa, not as a question, but sort of as a statement, as a lead-in. The only question that anybody had, even if it was a question that they knew the answer to, the only question that was ever had was, why doesn't she get married on Sunday? Of course we understood why she gets married on Wednesday. And according to this, the Mitznei Ma can now go back, not the way Tosfos said originally, said the Gemara was understanding it as not asking a reason. Really, it is asking a reason, but not asking a reason in a question format, asking a reason in a statement format, as in, is in the reason for Abitula getting married on Wednesday is in order that he should get up. The Gemara writes it in the fashion which uses the lashon of Mitznei Ma, but in fact, that isn't really what they're asking. What they're really coming to ask is, why doesn't she get married on Sunday? They're going to bring in a reason which the original statement of Yehuda Mashmol never seems to have heard of, never seems to have said, which is Shakti, this takana that the Chachamim created, that a girl should be able to have a nice wedding, and therefore we want to make sure that there's a few days of preparation after Shabbos before she actually gets married. I guess the wedding preparations couldn't be done the week before. Tell us about the Sunday wedding, so therefore the wedding has to be done Wednesday. And then once we know that, then we have to understand, so what happens if the wedding gets pushed off on Wednesday? And the answer is that if it's not his fault, in other words, if it happens as a result of the Chacham Takana, so of course he isn't responsible to provide her with Mizonos. It's not his fault. He's not obligated to violate a Takana of Chacham. Just the opposite. The Chacham enacted his Takana in order that he should not violate it. And we will continue Be'ezus Hashem next time with the Gemara going on to explain, so what happens if he's the one who's responsible for the wedding being pushed off. We'll hold it here. And take care. Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue next time.